Come on in. We're ready for you today. This is Pastor Mike coming to you live from the secret Area 52 top secret broadcasting facility and research complex. And I'm coming to you live today. This is the talk show that the Vatican hates. And the more you listen today, the more you know why. Let me get a little bit more volume turned up there. There we go. Good to be with you today. A lot of things going on around the world, especially this time of year. And I tweeted earlier today, top 10 things about Mary that are not true. All right. So I hope I got your interest here. And maybe you have a list of your own. If you want to, you can send it to me. PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com is the address. If you're watching me from the Pastor Mike Online website, that would be .com. You can fill out the little form down there on the bottom and send in an email, and it will get right to me right away. So if you come up with anything else, let me know. All right. This is a follow-up to something that I talked about last week. According to WorldNet Daily, the Virginia High School, you remember the Virginia High School where the teacher, the liberalized university taught and trained and instructed teacher at this particular high school, gave the class a calligraphy assignment, and it was to copy down the Anyway, that's what they were doing. And the Shahada is in Arabic. It is, there is no God but Allah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. That's what it says. And the students were ordered to copy that on a sheet of paper. The school district closed last Friday, as a backlash continued to build. A tsunami of complaints followed the assignment. The quote from the school is, while there has been no specific threat of harm to students, schools and school offices will be closed Friday, December 18th, Augusta County Schools said in a statement, CNN reported. Now, I'm struck here. I'm just kind of curious as to what it was that facilitated this, or was it, did they receive some sort of voicemail, email communication, phone call, smoke signals, whatever? Did they receive some form of complaint that accompanied a sort of generic threat? And if so, did it come from someone who is angry that the students don't want to copy the shahada da 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 down? Or, sounds like you're speaking in tongues, shahada da 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 da. Or, did it come from some, and here's how the liberal press would put it, some right-wing extremist NRA active member that said, y'all shouldn't be doing that. That ain't right in our schools. But anyway, no specific threat. Student Laurel Truxell questioned the district's defense of the lesson as an exercise in Arabic's, quote, artistic complexity during an interview with WHSV-3, ABC, which ABC affiliate in probably in that area. Truxell said on TV's day, if it was, why couldn't we just learn to write hello or goodbye? You know, normal words, not that. Kimberly Herndon, I like this one, okay? And don't get me wrong, I do not think that a majority of Americans are Bible-believing Christians. We have a heritage in this country, a heritage as a Christian nation. Now, you can pile up all the conspiracy ideas about the founding fathers and so on. Chris Pinto's did what I thought was a good documentary on that, and he's done his research. But I'm not talking about what Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin believed. I'm talking about what the American people stood for and what they believed in. They were Christian people. They were not Muslim. They were not Buddhist. They were certainly not atheist. They were Christian in their, as far as their identity, as far as the morals and the Ten Commandments. That's who they were. And those principles has guided this nation through the best of times and through the worst of times. Now, we are as a people working very hard at breaking God's laws and God's moral ideas in this nation. We're working very hard at it. But there are still some people who know what nonsense looks like. And their fathers and their traditions are Christian in nature. And they're not going to put up with this stuff. And by the way, it's a sad state of affairs when someone, and I'm not saying anything about whether he's a good leader or whether I like some of his policies, because I do, but it's a sad state of affairs that someone who does not identify as a Christian man, and I'm referring to Donald Trump, he is not a Christian. He is, his lifestyle and the way he leads, he's a very greedy man. That being said, I like some of the things that he says and some of the things that he stands for. But there's my point. Just because people in this nation are not born-again, Bible-believing Christians, there is still a sense of there are things that we need to stand up for and protect in this nation. And what's sad is that we find no good Christian men standing up for these things on the level that, let's say, Donald Trump is doing. I'm not saying that there's some people not speaking out. I'm not saying that. Let me move on here, because I like what this woman did. Now, where she goes to church and what she believes, what Bible she used, I have no idea. But here's what happened. Kimberly Herndon told the network she would not send her ninth grade son back into the teacher's world geography class. She and other parents gathered Tuesday at Good News Ministries in Staunton to discuss the assignment. She said, "I'm shocked that it was sent home, shocked that it was in the school, shocked that it was happening right here in our small town," said Herndon. And I want you to think about this. The things that are going on are, and the things that are coming up to the surface, this is not a New York public school. This is not Los Angeles. This is not Portland. This is not a D.C. school. This is a small town, just like Hillsboro, Missouri, is a small town, the county seat of Jefferson County. We are not the metropolitan St. Louis County. We're not that. Hillsboro is a small town. Most of the people there are just decent, average Americans. They go to work every day. They come home every day. They shoot deer. They eat squirrels out of the backyard. And they like to blow stuff up every now and then. And here is somebody, as a young man, going into a woman's bathroom in the girls' locker room with a wig and a dress on. And the people, there are people who are saying that that is to be the accepted norm. And it happened in a small school, not a big one. Happened in a small one. I'm shocked that it was sent home in our small town. The sheet that she gave out was pure doctrine in its origin. I will not have my children sat under a woman who indoctrinates them with Islamic religion when I am a Christian. I'm going to stand behind Christ. You go get them, girl, Kimberly. Augusta County Schools defended teacher Sherry Laporte earlier in the week, saying she was merely providing an objective and interactive activity with students, unquote. Neither these lessons nor any other lesson in the world geography course are an attempt at indoctrination to Islam or any other religion, or a request for students to renounce their faith or profess any belief. When you write it down, you are consenting to it. When you're writing it down, here, write this down. I'm sorry. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not writing that. There's no way in the world you're going to get me to write that. Throw me out of the school. Give me an F. I don't care. I will take the consequences. I will not. And I want to tell you something. Be ready, people. Be ready and stand ready to start taking the consequences for standing up for Jesus and standing up for what's right, because there will be a price to pay in the near future. There will be a price to pay. There will be a price to pay for remaining human. While Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer and all these other groups tell you to love yourself, we find in the book of Revelations those who stood for Christ and they loved not their lives even unto the death. That's what Christianity is. That's what this woman gets. Christ tells me, I'm tired of these people. I'm tired of being nice. I'm tired of letting all these people run over me and my children. See, we're not required. We are not required as Christians to take this as a slap on the cheek and turn them the other one. Oh, you want to indoctrinate my ninth grade son? Well, here, I have a five-year-old coming up. Why don't you give them a book on sodomy? We're not required to do that, people. I don't know where some people get their morals from, but that's not one of them. Anyway, that's what they said. That's what they said. They said that we're not trying to promote Islam. Then why don't they, like, write a road sign in Saudi Arabia? You know, even a sign pointing to Mecca. Okay, here, write that out. Anyway, Kimberly Herndon and all of you gals that met together to talk about this and take a stand for it, including all the students at Hillsborough High School that walked out. I'm not usually for rebellion, especially among young people, but I think that one was the right thing to do. Anyway, God bless you guys. Keep standing. This is along the same line as here's this small town out in Kentucky. Where the county clerk decided, because she believed what God said, she was not going to issue marriage licenses to sodomites. She was not going to do it. Small town, small town, small town. It's weakening the nation is what it's doing. Weakening the nation in the small towns, because small town America is still halfway decent. There's some standards there. This goes along with what I talked about last Thursday, and I got an email back from Sue, who did not like what I said. She did not like it, and I cannot apologize for anything that I said. I withheld her name. I did not want to publicly embarrass her or anything like that, but she did not like what I said, and I think that I supported the Bible stand on alcohol. Alcohol is a beverage. I think I showed what the scripture says concerning that, and I cannot apologize. I cannot back up. I cannot retract it. I can't do anything like that. I have to say these things, and if I'm wrong, then God takes a big old whipping post and ties me to it and takes a rod and whoops the fire out of me. That's what happens. And I assure you, I've been down that road before. But this goes along with it. Churches serve beer to attract young flocks. Drunken sheep. In a religious conundrum, just ask yourself, what would Jesus brew? A growing number of churches across the country have taken to serving beers and ales as a means of attracting younger members. Other congregations ditch the sacred space entirely and flock to the local pub, which is referencing public house. It's not a private club. This is where everybody can come and lust after other people while they're getting drunk. Preferring neither water nor wine, but perhaps a nice IPA. I am not familiar with that one. What is an IPA? It's probably... It's got something to do with beer. In a fascinating look into modern Christian culture in America, NPR's The Salt blog examines the strange brew of religion and alcohol and how it's attracting unexpected people to Christianity. And no, it's not. No, it's not. No, I disagree with NPR on this one and practically everything else NPR says. It's not attracting them to Christianity. It's attracting them to Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, an abomination to the earth, who holds a cup of drunkenness and fornication in her hand as she makes people drunk. That's what it's attracting them to. Here's a whore standing here with a glass of alcohol in her hand. Okay? Very attractive to people who want to live in the flesh. All right? She pulls at many strong men. Many strong men have been destroyed by her. This is what's going on. In Fort Worth, Texas, I hate to even read this. Fort Worth, Texas. Church in a pub. Church in a pub. That would be like, and probably, you know, I'm probably just going to give somebody the wild idea. Church at the Bunny Ranch in Nevada. You know what that is? That is a, from what I hear, legal brothel in Nevada. Let's have church there. Church in a pub gets churchgoers in the spirit, so to speak. Worship leaders hold communion at the bar. This is defilement. Good grief. This is defilement. Worship leaders hold communion at the bar and even sing hymns and songs of praise. 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer. Take one down, pass it around. I would imagine that's one of the songs that they sing. Phil Hines, who is part of Calvary Lutheran. Now, stop right here. We had some visitors in this weekend. They left lots of pretty cool gifts, including dragons and unicorns. Here we go. Sock puppet time. Gotta have, listen, I put the fun, some people say I put the fun in fundamentalism. And then some people think I put the mental in fundamentalism. Okay, this is Uni the unicorn. Hi, God said I was real. Okay. Anyway, he grew up Lutheran. And he said, Mike, you're dead on. He said, in that Lutheran church, he said they had their book that they read their prayer out of. And he said, they had me, when he was talking to me, it reminded me of what Pastor Reg Kelly, how he described to me his third level initiation in the Blue Lodge of Freemasonry. Yes, yes, he went through the Blue Lodge. And he told me, he said, Mike, he said, they brought me in, they blindfolded me, rolled my sleeve up, rolled my pant leg up, said all this stuff. Then they said, kneel. So I knelt and they had me say all these words, and they said these words. And he said, they took the blindfold off of me and I was facing, there was a man sitting on a throne that they called the Worshipful Master. And he said, I was lost and I knew that wasn't right. And so our friend tells us, he said in the Lutheran church, he said they'll have you, you'll be bowed, and you'll bow before this gigantic dead man on a cross, which is not Jesus. It is not Jesus. There is no crucifix anywhere in the world that represents Jesus, because he is not the idol shepherd. That's the other guy that can't see out of his right eye. That's that guy. And so here he is knelt here in a church that has an idol there that they pray to. I mean, yes, I believe that Martin Luther understood the free grace of God and the righteousness of God imputed to him, not by works, but the church that was founded on him and his beliefs is, it's like Catholicism's first cousin, because they are still practicing the things that Rome teaches, bowing to idols and praying to idols. And so here's my point. The false prophet leads everybody to make an image to the beast and worship it And Mystery Babylon, her job through a drunken spirit is to cause everybody to do that. So it's no wonder to me this is going on in the Lutheran church where they bow and they pray. They say, they read prayers to statues. And the statues are going. They have ears, but they cannot hear. Hold on to that one. Let's see here. Communion at the bar. That just, it makes me sick. Calvary Lutheran Church's bold initiative said that the idea is to spark curiosity in those around. I'm interested in having people have significant relationships around Jesus. And if it turns out to be craft beer, fine. Parish in Portland, Oregon does much the same. First Christian Church holds an event called Beer in Hymns once a month, attracting about 100 swilling and singing young people. Now, are you catching this, people? She's there. She's there. Her spirit is there, pouring out the wine of her fornication, which is the vine of Sodom. Because where does it stop? It doesn't. It doesn't stop. And see, even think about this. The vine of Sodom is bitter. It's wormwood. There's even a whole portion of the liquor world of drinks that are called bitters. The leaven has gone into the wine, eaten all the sugar out of it. Now it's not sweet anymore. Now it does not cheer God and man any longer. Because the sugar is gone, the sweetness is gone. My cells, the cells in my body, crave sugar. They need it to survive, not alcohol. Hundred swilling, singing young people. To keep things in check, the church enforces a two-beer maximum. One of the songs they sing is, I got friends in low places. I made that up. The casual environment, far from notions of being your starched Sunday bests, lends itself to attracting those who wouldn't be seen sitting in a pew. Now, just in a very sort of PG-rated way, imagine then what they would, what 20-something and 30-something adults would be wearing to this church. Even New York, a hallowed haven for microbrews and craft beers, has ministry centered around brews. Theology on tap. See, that's just that's the drunkards of Ephraim, who err in vision and stumble in judgment, which came to the city in 2000, takes questions of eternal life and false prophets and puts them in the most unorthodox of settings, an Irish pub. The group says on its website that it is, quote, in perfect alignment with the Pope. That I agree. Explaining that the Holy Father, he's not the Holy Father, commands that the gospel of Christ should be taken to where the people are. Taken to where the people are, yes. Doing what the people are doing, no. Therein lies the difference. But you see, there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. And when you're drunk and when you drink wine and strong drink, you cannot put difference between clean and unclean, between holy and unholy. You can't tell the difference. There are things that people do that some shout at them and say, you're unholy, you're wicked. And they're going, no, no, we're worshiping the Lord. Let's see here. What else? An intelligence gene has been discovered. I knew this was going to happen. A lawsuit, a student attack at St. Paul, Minnesota's, and the teacher is going to sue the school district. The teacher who was attacked by a student earlier in December is planning on suing St. Paul Public Schools, saying the district has failed to keep teachers. What happened is, the law firm, I won't give the law firm, announced Monday that they have been retained by John Ekblad, a St. Paul teacher, quote, to commence civil litigation against the St. Paul Public Schools for negligence in failing to provide him with a workplace free of assaultive behavior and violence in general. On Friday, December 4th, 16-year-old St. Paul student allegedly body slammed and choked Ekblad, his teacher at Center High School. Fonte O'Bannon, is accused of slamming Ekblad into a cafeteria table and chair when Ekblad tried intervening in a fight. The student then choked him until he was unconscious. O'Bannon was charged with third-degree assault. Ekblad suffered brain damage and a concussion in the incident and needed medical attention. The school district has been on notice that there is a physical violence problem towards teachers in the school district by its students. However, the school district has failed to properly safeguard its teachers, the law firm said. And I agree with this. I agree with this one. And I'll tell you why. It is the liberals who are the ones with the blood on their hands. The blood of murders in this nation is on the hands of liberals. Liberals who, in a college board meeting, decide to hire only one security guard and not allow him to carry a weapon, so that a crazed gunman goes to the campus and starts shooting and killing people at will, freely, unimpeded, and unhindered by anybody. Why? Because liberals took the guns away. They took away that university or that college's ability to protect its students and its teachers. Let's say that you, as a store owner in the state of Missouri, you put a sign up in your store saying, "No guns allowed in this store." What do you think? Do you think that the armed robbers are going to walk up to the store and go, "Oh, we have to go to McDonald's. They won't allow our guns in here. Now we can't rob the place." You think that's going to happen? So the store owner doesn't allow anybody to carry a weapon in there, including legally concealed weapons. Legally concealed weapons upon people, citizens of the state of Missouri, who have been vetted by the local sheriff's department and the FBI and have been given authority to conceal a weapon on their person for the purposes of self-defense only. You don't want them in your store. So if they want to go in your store, they got to take their gun off and walk in your store. You are now telling everybody, every gang and every thug and every armed robber and murderer in the world, "Come in here, we can't stop you." And if I or somebody in my family was injured by an armed robber in your store, I would own your store. I would sue you and win. Because if you restrict my ability to defend my wife, my children, my... I got a new grandchild yesterday! Woo! Roland Luther is his name. Cute little chubby thing. I love him. Courtney is doing well. Baby's doing well. I think Sweetie Pie's over there right now. And right in time. Amen. I love those kids. I have 8 grandchildren now. One's in heaven already. I got a 9th one coming. I love those kids. Don't touch my grandchildren. And if you restrict my ability to defend my family from someone who wants to do evil, if you restrict and then you don't provide a safeguard in its place, you should be sued. This guy, this teacher, he's doing the right thing. In the state of Missouri, the state legislature, which is a supermajority of conservative Republicans, voted to mandate or allow. Here's the law. They allow now any school district in the state of Missouri to train and authorize school administration, school staff, including teachers and janitors, to carry a concealed weapon on their person in the school building, so that if somebody comes in, even a student, with a shotgun, with a semi-automatic weapon, or any other thing, in order to do harm on students or upon the staff, they have a way to defend themselves, the staff, and the students there. And any school district who refuses now the ability to do that and does not provide adequate safeguards to protect the students and the staff on that property, which they say, we do not allow guns on this property, so therefore no one would come in and shoot anybody because we don't, because that's against the law. I mean, come on, you people are not thinking right. It's against the law for these people to come and shoot up our students. So why would we think anybody would do that? You deserve to get sued. And I hope the guy wins. I hope the guy wins $500 million. And it sends a word not only to the rest of this nation, but to the rest of the world. We don't have to lay down and let the bullies kill our children. There is no Christian, nothing that came out of Jesus Christ's mouth said anything about letting someone kill your child. Not a word. Let's see, what else was I going to get to here? Let's do this. Top 10, because I'm going to talk about Mary today. Hey, everybody's talking about Mary. You know what? Let me do this. Get your Bible out. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Let's go to that part of it first. Let's see what God ordained. Isaiah 9, I love it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know what? You know who was born on that day? God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. Let's go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. I think it's interesting. The number 6, I gave just sort of an idea of what the number 6 was all about in part 1, the King James Code, of dealing with the number 9. And, of course, you know, everybody, you know, 666, and they're going, oh, that's the beast, that's his number, blah, 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 blah. And the number 6 is all evil and everything like that. Think of it like this. Go look at Genesis 6 and look what happened. You do have the sons of God and the daughters of men, and I get that. But you also have the preparation of the ark in Genesis chapter 6. And I can there are dozens of places in the Bible where the number 6 is in reference to something being prepared. Jean-Baptiste, John the Baptist, was the preparer of the way. That's what was prophesied of him. And he is preparing the way of the Lord. And I want you to notice that in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and in the 6th month of the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And what happened is 6 months after Elizabeth conceives Jean-Baptiste, he hasn't been born yet, it's got 3 months to go. 6 months after his conception, he's 6 months in the womb. Now, the angel Gabriel is going to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, and he's going to announce to Mary that she now is with child. And so what happens is, when they're born, John the Baptist is born, and he goes to prepare the way 6 months ahead of Jesus Christ. I like that. I like that. That's neat. So anyway, verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, she had not consummated the marriage yet. They had not been formally joined together. She was espoused to him. She was engaged to him, which in their law was illegal. It was legal and it was binding. And espousal was. Judge Judy, you've probably seen her. She sees it the same way. She if two people show up in court who have had a relationship before marriage, and the woman is carrying an engagement ring, and the relationship is cut off. They break up. They hate each other now. And the guy says, "I want my engagement ring back." And she says, "No, you gave that to me as a gift. Now I'm going to keep that." Now or they'll hawk it. They'll take it to a pawn shop and they'll sell it and get money out of it. Judge Judy says, "Well, if you don't produce the ring, ma'am, you're going to give him the money, because in her view of the law, an engagement ring is a promissory in lieu of the expectation of marriage." And it's marriage is a legal thing. So anyway, she says, "Lady, give the ring back, because the engagement is off and that contract is nullified. Give him the ring back." And that, I'm just sort of bringing that in as a just a context here. She was espoused to Joseph, but she had not been with Joseph. Very important to remember, because the Revised Version, first version, English translation of the Bible that broke that barrier of let's change who Jesus is by declaring that she was a young woman conceiving and not a virgin. To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The Hebrew is Miriam. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." Now, let me stop right here. There is a prayer recited primarily in Latin, but not exclusively. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in muli eribus et benedictus. Et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesu Christu. I remembered that. Okay. No, I'm not. I'm not Catholic. No, I never. No, I wasn't a priest or anything like that. When I was in high school, we had to sing in concert choir the Ave Maria, and you learned it in Latin. All right. But anyway, Hail Mary, Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. That part of the Hail Mary is from the scriptures. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this, at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus." What does that say on your page? It didn't say Yahashashashua, does it? No, it says Jesus. That's because we speak English. And that's, and in Revelation 7, all tongues are gathered around. In Acts chapter 2, what were they doing? Were they speaking Hebrew to everybody so they could make sure they all worship the same God? No, they were speaking in the other languages that the people spoke and understood. And in one language, he's Yeshua. In another language, he's, in Greek, he's Huisu. In Latin, he is Jesus. And in English, he's Jesus. Now, I don't care about this. Well, J, the letter J wasn't around. That was invented by the Vatican. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He shall be great, verse 32, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" She knew she had not been with Joseph or anybody else. The angel said unto her, The angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. I was thinking, thought it was interesting that where Zacharias doubted and he was struck with dumbness during that time, Mary believed. She said, "Be it thou according to thy word." She was, I think, Mary. I'm going to say this. I love the character and the nature of who Mary was according to the scriptures. God truly selected, not Mystery Babylon, not some Jezebel harlot, not some man-hating, egotistical, I hate all authority kind of woman who runs her mouth all the time. He chose a woman who was humble, discreet, chaste. She kept her purity. Not in hopes that she would be the woman to be selected to bear the Messiah. No, that wasn't her. She just knew it was the right thing to do. And when she heard the word of the Lord at Gabriel's mouth, she submitted to it. She said, I'll do this. And I think that's why God chose her. That is also, I think, should be the nature and the character of Bible-believing Christians. Humble, accepting of the Lord, pure and chaste, not out chasing other gods, not saying to Christ, well, there are other gods out there, and when I'm with them, I'm thinking of you. That's Rick Warren. When he's with his Islamic friends worshiping Allah, he's thinking of God. That's adultery. That's what the fornication that Mystery Babylon is pouring out, both physical and spiritual. Mary rose in those days, verse 39, went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. No, just kidding. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. You know what that means? That means, and I had somebody email me on this. Oh, Mike, you are so dead wrong. It is okay. This is not what they said in the email, but here's what they were getting at, because I was addressing the issue of abortion. And they were saying, Pastor, you know, when the Bible says that, you know, John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost from the womb, what that literally means, if you read the Greek, what it literally means is when he came out of the womb, he was full of the Holy Ghost. That is not that. Jean Baptiste was full of the Holy Ghost while he was in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, because when he heard the salutation of Mary, he had an old-time gospel preaching, shouting festival inside the womb of his mother. He leapt in her womb. He jumped and shouted and, yeah, all that stuff, okay? Just without the camel hair coat that he wore. So John the Baptist had the Holy Ghost in him before he was born, Planned Parenthood. And you would have cut him up. You would have said, Elizabeth, you're far too old to be giving birth. When they pass all these laws saying we're against abortion, except in, you know, when the life of the woman is in danger, they would say of Elizabeth, you probably need to have an abortion because your life may be in danger. That's what they would have said to her. That's what liberals would have went to Elizabeth and said, Elizabeth, you're fantasizing about this boy and about what you think is going to turn out to be, and your life is in danger, so why don't you go get an abortion because the law will allow you to. And it's really the right thing to do. And besides, he's not really alive right now. He's just some tissue that doesn't belong to you because it doesn't have your DNA signature. And so why don't you just have a doctor cut him in pieces? And if you don't mind, we need his brain, his heart, his kidneys, and some of his skin tissue and his blood, because we need Christmas bonus, you know, time. We need that money. So can we do that, Elizabeth? And here he is, John the Baptist, full of the Holy Ghost, even before he's born. By the way, that shows the election of God, too. Anyway, but she spake out with a loud voice, saying, Blessed art thou among women. That is in the Ave Maria. Hail Mary, full of grace. Don't let anybody hit me in the face. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Okay, that's what's in there. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And then they insert the name Jesus, okay? Then that's where the Bible part of the Hail Mary part ends. Because after that, when it's translated in English, it says, Holy Mary, Mater Dei, which is Mother of God. Holy Mary, Mater Dei, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour, ora, of in Latin, the hour of our death. Amen. Repeat 33 times. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Repeat it again, over and over and over. I'm going to deal with that. God showed me something yesterday, totally unexpected, totally undeserved. I mean, totally undeserved. God showed me something about enchantments and incantations yesterday. When I'm done with the King James Code number 9, it's only going to be a two-part thing. I'm going to jump back into this enchantments thing. You're gonna be going, and I'm reading one of false prophetesses Joyce Meyer's book on how to be a witch and call yourself a Christian and deceive people. Okay. Anyway, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my equal. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, and my heart hath rejoiced in God my Son. Because, you know, I'm the mother of God. Don't you know that? My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, he hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. That's who Mary was. She was not some cigarette-sucking, wine-drinking Jezebel that was calling all the shots and running her mouth all the time. That's not who she was. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. He hath spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And then you can go on and read the rest of it. I love that. I absolutely love who Mary really is in the Bible. The church, God's people, should endeavor to be that in our soul, in our spirit, and even in our body, as much as possible, to be that person. To have God put in us, now listen to this now, this is right and this is true, this is biblical, to have God put in us the seed of the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The incorruptible seed of the Word of God. That's our hope. That's our endeavor. That's what I want out of life. Now, I compiled a list. A list of top 10 things about Mary that is not true. Top 10 things. Now, and it wasn't hard to do this. Are you ready? And by the way, I need some help here. I dug up some old Watchman notes. There is a church in Chicago. It's one of these Polish Catholic churches. And they installed a statue of the Virgin Mary dressed in scarlet, sitting on the Ark of the Covenant. And if you can find out what church that is, send me an email. Write it in the what is that called? The title of the email. That way I'll catch on. All right, here we go. You ready? Top 10 things about Mary that is not true. Now, these are things that are taught in the Catholic Church. They are believed by billions of people all over the planet. People will say, well, like, didn't Mary, like, even if they're not Catholic, they've heard this, isn't Mary, like, still virgin? Or, you know, what's up with that? Or, you know, like she's the Queen of Heaven, right? I mean, she, you know, she did give birth to Jesus, and he's God, so therefore she's the Mater Dei, the Mother of God. So, you know, but there are billions of people all over the world that think this, and here are 10 things about the Virgin Mary that are not true. Number one, she was born immaculate. which and Catholic doctrine teaches that when Mary was born of, who is it, Saint Anne, they say? When she was born of her mother, she was born without sin. That Mary at no time had any sinful inclinations. She had no sinful lust. She never drank whiskey. She never did. She was born completely without sin. When you roll by a Catholic church and it says Immaculate Conception of Church, you have to ask the legitimate question, are they referring to Christ or are they referring to Mary? Because that's what they believe. They believe that her conception was immaculate, that she was born without sin, reigning in her mortal body. That's what they believe. And do they get that from any verse in the Bible? Mm-hmm. The answer is no. Instead, we just read the verse, Luke chapter 1, verse 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. You do not call God the Savior if you don't need the Savior. If you don't need to be saved, he's not the Savior to you. Absolutely not. So number one, the idea that Mary was born immaculate, not true according to the Word of God. Number two, here we go. Ready? I'm kind of looking at my email. If you've got any more things you think of, send them to me, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. Number two, top 10 things about Mary that is not true. She remained a virgin after giving birth to Jesus Christ. That also is another. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. Mucho apreciado. Feliz Navidad to you, my friend. Let me pull that up here. Yes. Saint Santa Claus Parish. No, it's not Saint Santa Claus. It's Saint Stanislaus. I'll put that on the screen because that's where we're going here in a little bit. All right, you guys ready for this? Okay. Here, cue the music. Okay, get ready for that one. That is, again, that is Saint Santa Claus. No, I'm getting it wrong. Saint Stanislaus. Sure. What happened to my web camera? My face is on fire. Do you see that? My face is on fire. Hang on, let me do this. That's better. My face was on fire there for a second. All right. Anyway, getting back to the list now, because that's where we're going. Rob, appreciate that. Number two, she remained a virgin. Not true. The Catholic doctrine says that after giving birth to Jesus, that even though her and Joe were an item and they were married, Joe must have been like the prototype of the Catholic priest because he never touched her in the womanly way, in the marital way, and she remained a perpetual virgin all throughout eternity, and she is still referred to as the Blessed Virgin. They believe that she did not couple with her husband, consummate the marriage, and they believe that to this day, she is still the Virgin Mary. Matthew 12:47. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. What? They went to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, your mother and your brothers. James was one of them. James, the writer of the book of James, was the brother of Jesus Christ. We would say, in today's world, we say half-brother because they had two different fathers, unless, of course, you read the NIV. And the NIV says that when the NIV calls Joseph his father. King James says Joseph and his mother in referring to Joseph. The NIV says his father and mother went looking for him. Okay. Anyway, James was the brother of Jesus by Joseph. So they declared to Jesus, Matthew 12:47, that her virginity was over and done with, and she had children after Jesus was born. Because Jesus had brethren. And Jesus never said, I have brothers? Mom, you were supposed to be a virgin. He never said that. Never said that. There's not anything in the scriptures that refer to Mary as being a perpetual virgin. Not one thing. So here's one of the things I'm getting at here. You have what the Bible says, and then you have the mythologies and the supernatural traditions and the superstitious stuff that the Roman Catholic Church and the popes and the cardinals and the Orioles and the Red Sox and the Twins and all these people have put on top of the authority of the Word of God and said, yes, the Bible doesn't say anything about it, but the Bible is wrong in a lot of places. We know that because we said so. So whatever Pope Ignoramus V says, that's what you have to believe. And if you don't believe that Mary was a perpetual virgin after she gave birth to Jesus Christ, then you go to purgatory then until that burns off of you. And you pay for your own sins. That's their doctrine. So number two, she remained a virgin. Number three, top 10 things about Mary that are not true. Number three, she told Jesus what to do all the time, bossed him around. Oh, son, you can't, son, don't go, don't do that. Son, Lazarus is dead. Don't roll that stone away. Come, son, you better listen to me. I'm your mother. Never happened. She never bossed Jesus around, never told him what to do. John chapter 2, verse 3. The marriage of Cana, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, they have no wine. Or saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now listen, I am not Jesus Christ and my mom is not the Virgin Mary. If I talked, I did talk to my mom that way one time. I found out that the back of my mother's hand tastes like blood, is what I found out. I sassed and smarted off to my mother sitting in the passenger seat of this 1976 Spirit of 76 Nova hatchback car that Dad bought her. That was her favorite car. And I sassed her and smarted off in the church parking lot, and the back of her hand came at 186,000 miles a second and drew blood out of the inside of my mouth, and I had to swallow that. She slapped me hard. Don't you ever talk to me that way. You don't say to your mother, woman, what have I to do with thee? You don't do that and live. The doctrine that Catholics are told to believe is that instead of praying to Jesus because he's ticked off at you. Well, of course he is. You're Catholic. You're bowing to idols. No wonder he's angry with you. But their idea is that Jesus is angry with them all the time. He wants you dead. And you, when you pray to Mary, she's going, oh, I feel sorry for you. Oh, I'm weeping for you. I will go tell my son to not harm you because you prayed to me and you said the rosary 33 times. And you adored the Eucharist. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to tell my son to leave you alone. That's their doctrine. And it's not true. Catholics teach and believe that when you pray to Mary, Mary goes to her son, and the son has to be, listen to this now, the son has to be obedient to his mother and do what she says. Not true. Number four, top 10 things that are not true about Mary. She is exalted above all humanity. She is exalted above. Now, here's where they start piling on the perpetual virginity. They start piling on the idea that she was born immaculate. and that she is exalted above all humanity. Like, and they're about ready to exalt Mother Teresa, who was a Catholic nun who sprinkled holy water on children's foreheads under the guise of cooling their fever so that when they died, they could go to heaven or at least purgatory for a while and then go to heaven. That's that, and they're fixing to canonize her because they said, well, you know, she's got to have two miracles. We're going to beatify her, and then we're going to canonize her. And what that means is that she, Mother Teresa, is a saint now. Now, you cannot be a saint, which is not true according to the Bible. But she is a saint. She is exalted above everybody else, and you can pray to Mother Teresa. And Mother Teresa will pass your, I don't know how this works. You pray to Mother Teresa and she hands it to St. Joseph, who hands it to St. Thomas, who hands it to St. Barnabas, who hands it to St. Elisus, who hands it to St. Valentine, who gives it to St. Patrick, who gives it to St. Mary, who then gives it to Sancta Jesus. Is that how it works? I don't know. I don't know the chain here. But the idea is that Mary now is exalted above all humanity. Going back to Matthew chapter 12, when they told Jesus, Jesus, your mom and your brothers are out here waiting for you. Go look at what Jesus said. He said, verse 48, he said, but he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? He stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. Jesus never exalted Mary above everybody else. He certainly, when they said, Jesus, your mom is standing out here with her arms crossed, mad as a wet hen. I think you ought to go out there and find out what she wants because she's not happy with you. Jesus said, who's my mother? All of these disciples, they do the will of the Father. They are my mother and my sister and my brother. That's who they, it's not Mary. It's all of my disciples. That's who they are. So, number four, not true. Number five, top 10 things about Mary that is not true. Number five, she is the Queen of Heaven. Not true. Jeremiah 7, 18. The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the woman knead their dough. I need some dough, honey. Honey, you got any dough? I need some dough. The women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods that they may provoke me to anger, God said. God's, you type in, get your Bible out. Type in the phrase Queen of Heaven. You will, here's what you will not find. You will not find the phrase Mary is the Queen of Heaven. You'll not find that. You'll not find what is the Latin term? Regina? Yeah. Regina is a Latin word meaning queen. Regum and or reign, like R-E-I-G-N, the reign of a king. That's the Latin word. It means they rule. And Regina is the Latin term for queen. She is characterized and called the Queen of Heaven in the Bible, if that's the case. And if all of these Catholics are worshiping her as the Queen of Heaven, they are in danger. Every time they worship to her, pour out drink offerings to her, sacrifice unto her. Every time they do that, they are provoking God to anger. Do not believe the quote-unquote Christian leaders of today, the Rick Warrens and the Bill Hybels and the Paula Whites and the Joyce Meyers and TBN and most Christian, quote-unquote, broadcasting and most Christian book writers and everybody. Do not believe them because they are already in bed with Babylon. They want you to be in bed with her as well. They want you to think that the Catholic Church, they're just like us. It's just that their doctrinal statement says a few things different than ours. But really, I mean, who are we to judge? I mean, they're just as good a Christian. They believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And they believe Jesus died on the cross for most everybody's sins. I mean, isn't that good enough? Don't fall for it, people. So number five, she is the Queen of Heaven. And God said, well, if she is, then you guys are in bad shape. Number six, top 10 things that about Mary that is not true. She is a mediator. Not true. Not true. This idea that you pray to Mary, and see, Catholic writers and Catholic priests who write books about this stuff are full of hypotheticals. They're full of hypotheticals. They will give you this doctrine, and they'll say, well, Jesus listens to his mother. Would you not listen to your mother? When your mother says something to you, do you not say, yes, mother, I will do what I am told? That's a hypothetical. They will use hypotheticals. Hypo meaning, hypo means sub, under the thesis, okay? They will use an analogy of something that may or may not be true in this world to tell you why they believe. They don't have scripture. They don't have any gospel. They don't have any word of God to declare it. They use hypothetical situations. I've seen that a lot in doctrines that are not true, that false prophets, false teachers, no matter what breed they call themselves, they will declare this doctrine to you. It doesn't match scripture. It's contrary to scripture. And yet they will give you all these hypothetical arguments of why they say this. And isn't this true? I mean, isn't it true that this is, and so on? And so therefore that must be true. Don't fall for it. If it's not in the Bible, it doesn't exist, people, especially when it comes to doctrines about Mary. So they believe that she is a mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5, just one verse and we're done. For there is one God and one mediator between God and Mary. No, that's not what it says. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And isn't it interesting that Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, included the phrase, the man. He the man, not the woman. He the man. There is one mediator. Your Bible declares it. Catholic Church says, don't believe the Bible. Believe Pope John Paul I, John Paul II, John, Paul, Ringo, George. Believe all of those guys. Do not believe the Bible. You trust us. Trust us. We want to molest your sons. Number six is not true. Number seven, she is the way to God. Not true. There is a verse. Jesus, John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You couple that with there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And you understand, it's plainly written, that the only way to God and salvation is through Jesus Christ alone. The moment you add to what Jesus did or who Jesus is, the moment you add somebody or something to that, you have reduced Christ as the 100% mediator down to about the 60% mediator. Or the 66% way to God. And Mary is the other third way to God. That's number seven. Top 10 things about Mary that is not true. Number eight. She is co-redemptrix or co-redeemer. Not true. Pope John Paul II, when he was shot, nearly killed, by a Turkish assassin, says that he had visions of the Virgin Mary and that it was clear to him that it was the Virgin Mary who saved his life and brought him back literally from the dead. And so he was poised. He was ready. I'm surprised he didn't do it. I'm surprised that this Pope now hasn't done it. But there is this undercurrent in Catholicism that says that Mary has an equal part with God as far as your redemption is concerned, who your Redeemer is. That, yeah, okay, yes, Christ died on the cross and blah, 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 blah. But Mary, was not Mary also at the foot of the cross going, oh, I'm suffering. Oh, I'm suffering for everybody's, I think the sins of mankind, part of them fell on me and I'm carrying their sins. That's what they want you, that's what they say, people. And they use all these hypothetical ideas and arguments that are not in the Bible. She is co-redemptrix. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The rule is, if she wasn't hanging on the tree, she wasn't the Redeemer. She does not have any part in it. She does not have any say in it. You cannot appeal to her. When you don't get what you want from God, you cannot then appeal to Mary to overrule him. Can't do it. So that's, let's see, number 9. Top 10 things about Mary. Oh, that's number 8, sorry. She is co-redemptrix. Not true. Number 9. Her statutes, Number 9, things about Mary that are not true. Her statues can hear prayers and speak. That's what people believe. They believe that people see visions of Mary in the clouds, coming in the clouds. They believe this. There are statues of Mary around the world. Some of them shed tears. Some of them have blood coming from different parts of their body. There are statues of Mary that they attribute miracles to. And they believe that if you, as a Catholic, go past a statue of Mary without stop, drop, and roll, and give your obeisance to that statue, genuflect, which means you bow before the image or the statue of Mary, if you don't do that, you've committed a sin. Whereas God says, if you do that, you committed a sin. That's what they believe. People do not. There was, and I heard this a while back, Joseph Chambers of Paul Creek Ministry put out a video, and he was talking about what's some of the evil things that are going on in some of the Assembly of God churches. And Joseph Chambers was a Pentecostal. I like him. I talked to him once on the phone, a good man. He believed the Bible. When they practiced tongues, they did it according to 1 Corinthians 14. He said, you don't have women in my church stand up speaking in tongues. Now, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with his position on it, but he was reading the Bible. He was following the scriptures. But he had this, he talked about this Assembly of God church that the pastor or something like that had somebody in there had some kind of vision of this angel. So they carved an image to the angel, had it in the church foyer. There is the Pentecostal Church Assembly of God down in Florida that had the big image of Jesus rising up out of this lake that they had in the back. And you remember several years ago it got struck by lightning and burnt? Remember that? They had an image. They had an idol. They carved an image. And they said, well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, we're not worshiping that. I mean, you know, God said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is heaven or the earth. You should not bow down to them, you should not pray to them. But the first thing out of God's mouth was, you should not make unto thee any graven images, any of them. And I'll never forget that woman I met in Dallas, who when I quoted that to her, she acted like that was the first time she'd ever heard the Bible say thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Because she was told by her priest that what that really meant was we're not to have like little Buddhas around our house or little tiki gods. Those are bad. But now here, carry this St. Joseph medal or carry this little crucifix around or, you know, have this little statue of Mary in your garden or whatever. Around here, I don't know where they get it from, but people will go to old farm sales and or antique shops, or they'll come across somehow somebody some old cast iron bathtub, and they'll bury part of it down in the ground, and they'll stand it up, and the tub part of it they'll put a statue of Mary in there like she's in a little grotto or something like that, and then they'll put that in their garden. They call it Mary in the bathtub around here. You'll see it everywhere. But the truth of it is, her statues cannot hear you pray, and she can't say a word to you. Psalm 115:3, but our God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. Well, some of them do. If you scratch them, and you get that little paint smell in there. Anyway, they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. You know what that means? You're as dumb as they are. If you make or you pray to an image, to a statue. And again, I don't care if it's in a Catholic church, a Lutheran church, a Pentecostal church. I don't care what church it is or what place it is. If you have them, you're wrong. Can I get somebody to say amen? Thank you very much. Now, and number 10, top 10 things about Mary that is not true. Number 10, drum roll please. She is the mother of God. Not true. She is not the Mater Dei. She is not the mother of God. Micah chapter 5. Is where when Herod went to the three wise guys, Mo, Larry, and Curly, and wanted to know, where is he? Because I want to worship him too. And he went to his scribes, and the scribes, he said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now I like this. Because Jesus was given the title king of the Jews at his birth. And he was given the title King of the Jews, at his death. 33 years, King of the Jews. And Herod says, where is he that is born King of the Jews? And they said, well, let's consult the scriptures. So they went to Micah. And in your King James Bible, if you count, that's the 33rd book of the Bible. Okay? I like that. Micah chapter 5. The top one reason why Mary is not the mother of God. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Mary may have supplied the chromosomes for Jesus' body. But the doctrine of the Mother of God indicates that God had a source, that God had a beginning, that God has a greater than he. And none of those are true. None of those are true. But they call her the mother, even in the Hail Mary, full of grace, they call her the Mother of God. And according to the scriptures, God never had one. God never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. He always was, always is, and always shall be. By the way, Finis Dake. You got to watch out for this guy. You got to watch out for people promoting Dake. Finis Dake believed and taught people that Jesus wasn't Christ until he was born of Mary. And he wasn't the Son of God until he was born of Mary. Not true. And Dake, everybody said, oh, he believed the Bible. Oh, yeah, he believed the Bible. When Dake wrote that thing about Jesus not being the Son of God before he was born on earth by Mary, he then goes to Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, where Nebuchadnezzar said, and the fourth is like the Son of God. He says, Nebuchadnezzar didn't mean that. He was not seeing Jesus in there. That was not Jesus in the fiery furnace. That was an angel. Listen, people, Dake is a setup. Anybody who teaches Dake's doctrine is setting you up. Anybody that walks around with Dake's Bible or Dake's commentaries or anything of Finis Dake on their blogs or their Facebook or whatever, they're setting you up. I'm telling you, that man is as evil, and he is as wicked. The man. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to back it up. The man's in hell. According to his own doctrine, he's in hell right now. Because Dake's doctrine was that if you had sickness, you had sin. And if you were sick, you lost your salvation. You had to repent to get it back, and then you had to be healed, had enough faith to be healed. And if you're going to die that way, you're not a Christian. And Dake died of Parkinson's disease. Took him probably about 4 or 5 years to kill him. He knew that he was sick with a disease called Parkinson's disease for years before his death. And he died of it. It killed him. And he didn't have enough faith and salvation to make it go away. Things about Mary that are not true, like, she does not sit on the throne of God. Okay? That is not her place. I'm going to show you something. I collect hexagons now. Okay? And I just thought I'd throw this in here. This is from a gaming site, the Halo World Championship for Xbox. Notice all the hexagons here. Notice this image here is it's a hexagon. In fact, there's two of them. There is one here, and then there's one here. And I saw one last night in a commercial, and I'll put it on the 666alert.net website. Not sure when I'm going to do it. Courtney is the one who has kind of taken over that website, and she's busy. She's got her hands full, okay, with her third child. Bless her heart. All right. Here's another one. Some people sent me this morning. Said, Pastor, you get cue the music. Bum, bum, bum. This is a diabetes medicine called Trulicity. And the whole, you got to watch this commercial. You can go to this iSpot TV and probably do a search for this one, Trulicity TV Spot Jerry. And you take the pill to activate what's within you. That's how the medicine works, is that it activates what's already in you. And that is, it's a setup for the Antichrist is what it is. Because what's in you is adultery, fornication, murder, wrath, envy, those 13 things that Jesus said was in you. And then when they come out, that's what defiles you. So I just thought that was interesting. By the little logo here is like as above, so below, okay? Anyway, very interesting finds people are finding. I appreciate you sending them to me. Send them to PastorMichaelOnline@gmail.com. Call them in the title 666 Alert, and either myself or Courtney will find them, and we will try to get them on the website shortly. God said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. Now, let me say this. Okay, I bow down to the car to change the tire. Simply me dropping my head and shoulders towards something does not mean that I am worshiping it. I bow down to the toilet to flush it. That does not mean that I'm worshiping or serving the toilet. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. Those two ideas go hand in hand. When you bow to something with the anticipation of regarding it as a god or a giver of some kind, you will be bound to do what it tells you to do. Serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So God said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. So, is it okay for you to, you're on a trip to Mexico, you're in Cancun, and you're in a curio shop, and you're buying little ornaments and little knickknacks to bring home, and you see a Virgin Mary holding a baby statue, and you, oh, look, honey, this would look nice in the parlor, and you buy it. No. God said don't do it. I would not do that. Okay? Would not do it. Well, I never bow down to it. I never serve it. Never pray to it. I believe that. But that just looks wrong. It just looks bad. It's the appearance of evil, and avoid it. God said, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. So, is it just innocent when you have a little statue of Mary and little baby Jesus with halos behind their head? Is that okay? Because it goes from there to something like this. The Saint Santa Claus Kostka Parish, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. And here is the Virgin Mary, according to them, the Virgin Mary, and she is, here he is, I want you to look at this. See these two angels here? They're facing one another. Their wings are enfolded over the top of this golden box. What is that? It's the Ark of the Covenant. See, here's the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that budded, and the pot of manna. They want you to know. They want you to know that she, like, and don't you look at the image here, okay? Get out a dollar bill, look at the back of it, and then send it to me. That was a joke. By the way, let me stop right here. I'm going to say thank you. I'm nobody. My family's nobody. Our church, we're nobody. I am uncomfortable when people call and say, "Is this Pastor Mike? Man, I feel like I'm talking to a celebrity." I'm very uncomfortable with that. Okay. I'm not chastising anybody. I'm just saying I don't see myself that way, and nobody around here sees me that way, I guarantee you. I'm just a guy, and these people here are just people, okay? And God has laid certain things on our heart to do. I want to do for my people as much as I possibly can. That doesn't make me a racist. That does not. It makes me an American. I love my people. I love America. And anybody that is in America, legally, I love them. Okay? And I want to do whatever I can for them. That does not mean I hate immigrants or people that have come in here illegally. Go get it. Go and sin no more. Go get it. Go get the paperwork. Fill it out. Go do it right. That's what my son-in-law did. That's what his mother is trying to do right now. She's in the process trying to get her green card. She wants to live in America with her son. That's what she wants. I told Michael, I said, why don't you just tell everybody she's a Syrian refugee. She'll get free board and room and transportation here and tax money. But she don't want to do that. She's a Christian woman, a good woman. She wants to do it right. But anyway, here's my point. God laid it on the heart of my son-in-law from Kenya. He loves his people, but he's very angry at them, very bitter against them. because a lot of them out there are not good people. They'll go to church, but they're very evil people. They will take bribes. They are corrupt. The pastors, it sounds like America, but that's who he knows that his people are. But he still loves them, and he still cares about them. And he's the one that aggravated me about having an FM radio station in Kenya. And what I wanted it to be in Nairobi, because that's where all the people are. And we looked there. There was no place for it. We looked, and we just accidentally landed in Samburu, Kenya. I believe that was the hand of God. That wasn't my plan. That was God's plan. You people in Kenya, you're listening to me right now on Watchman FM. We are going to be soon changing the frequency of this radio station. And here's why. For all this time, we've been renting the frequency, 91.3, and paying $1,500, $1,500 American money, which is 150,000 shillings, somewhere around in there. We've been paying that every month, and the man that owns it keeps raising the rent. We have the opportunity to purchase a stable frequency that will be ours. And so we're going to attempt to do that. We're going to go out, fill the paper and sign the papers and get the transmitter configured by the government and have it installed out there. And we don't know what frequency it's going to be yet, but we're going to do that. And all of this God has put into our hands and said, here, I want you to do this. And it's all been done with the help of those who listen, those who watch the Watchman broadcast and who listen to PMO, part of our church service. You send your offerings in. You don't hear me hit everybody up for money all the time. You don't hear me going after you saying, we need your help. Boy, we could use your help. Boy, we're in a fix this month. I mean, after I bought that new jet, that kind of hurt us. And so we could really use, I saw something today, Benny Hinn's trying to raise $2.5 million because they're in debt. Or they're in debt because he took all the money. But this has just been God laying upon the heart of people to give. We started talking about wanting to dig a well so that the people there could have free water, free. And because that's one of the things that they lack in that area. And that's one of the things, that's where a lot of the crime starts out, is people fighting over water. And so what we want to do, we've already had the survey done. We want to dig a well. We want to put solar panels on it, so that the pump can run from solar electricity. That will pump a water tank that's actually bigger than this room, so that a school that is nearby can have water to drink, water to clean, water for a dispensary that's there, which is like a little mini hospital, and so that anybody in that area can go there and get free water. And God's people, without me saying, God wants you to do this, I know you can fill out a check for this, without me saying that, God's people prayed and God's people provided. And we had come in yesterday a provision for that well water. What I'm telling you is we're going to go and dig our first well very, very soon. We now have everything that we need to go do that. And I say first well, because I think God will lay it and give us the ability to do more. And I thank God. I give him the praise and the glory. And I say, God, who am I? Who are we? Who is this little church here of 75 people that you're doing this through? Because we're nothing. And the people who are with us are nothing. And yet this is what God does. And he does it in his time and in his way. And we give all the thanks and all the glory to God. But I just wanted to say thank you to those of you that are out there. Now, I'm not going to give the names of some of the people that have donated quite a bit, because that's not why you did it. If you wanted that, and if you wanted me standing there shaking your hand while you're handing me a check so you can keep it, because we don't do that. Not being mean, but that's, if you're going to give to the Lord, okay? That's what we want. But I just want to say thank you to everybody. I love you and I appreciate you. Now, back to Hail Mary. Okay? She has, and if you don't get this, if you don't get the imagery here, look at this dollar, look at the back of the dollar bill. She is the capstone. I'm going to use this in the capstone series. She is the capstone with, and there's the all-seeing eye right there. There's the rays of the sun. Here is Isis and Osiris right here, people. Right here. Here is Isis, Ashtaroth, Ishtar, Diana, Iana. This is her, clothed in scarlet, decked with gold and costly array, with the image of the sun, sitting on the throne of Almighty God. That's what this is. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Look at here. The Ark of the Covenant was stationed between two cherubims. The Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwelleth between the cherubims. Thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. And I want you to look at the replacement here. If you still think the Catholic Church are just brethren that just kind of went astray a few years ago, you've got it wrong. And so does everybody. If your pastor or whatever religious leader you decide to follow, when they get up, start telling you about how they think Catholics are brethren, you get up and you march out of that church right in the middle of his sermon. Let him see you do it. Let everybody in that church know, by you don't have to holler and shout and scream and throw a fit. Get up and walk out, because that man's in bed with a whore. And Paul said, don't you know that someone who is joined with a harlot is one with that harlot? When these people start telling you that they're Christians just like everybody else, don't believe it. It's a lie. It's a setup. Don't fall for it. They have replaced here. I mean, here's God saying that he alone dwells between the cherubs. He is the God alone. And he's God of all the kingdoms of the earth. And he made heaven and earth. Now they've replaced God with her. Remember what Manasseh did. Manasseh went into the most holy place and put a carved image in there. Cue the music! You're looking at it. You are looking at what Manasseh did in his day. He did exactly what St. Santa Claus Church in Chicago, St. Stanislaus, that's what it is. Not Santa, well, it could be Santa Claus. Hebrews 9, chapter 3, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid around about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. That's what you're looking at right here. And over it, the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. That's what you're looking at. And now you've got the image of a harlot. A woman dressed in scarlet and gold and fine, expensive clothing, costly array, sitting in the most holy place where God and God alone is supposed to sit. This is the Catholic Church for you. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters, with whom the kings of the earth had committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth had been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. That's her, people. Okay? That's who she is. She is clothed in red. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. Why? Because scarlet is the color of sin. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. She sits on the man of sin. He's scarlet colored beast, full of he is like the opposite of the pure Lamb of God, who's white. He's the opposite of that. He is full of names of blasphemy, like Holy Father, right? Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold. See that? And precious stones. and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. If the Catholic Church service is about anything, it is about eat this bread and drink this cup. Because if you don't drink this cup, you don't do what we tell you to do, we cannot forgive your sins. We won't forgive your sins. If you don't eat the God, you cannot be the God. That's where it's headed, folks. That's what transubstantiation is all about. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. Boom. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to get the imagery that you're looking at here. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. The purpose of the throne of God, the Ark of God's Covenant, the mercy seat, the purpose of it was called the mercy seat for a reason. Because on the mercy seat in heaven sits the blood of the everlasting covenant. The blood of Jesus Christ, which is everlasting and eternal, and it's not to be trampled on, and it's the incorruptible blood. It is, can I say it? It is God's own blood. That's how the book of Acts, people. God, with his own blood, hath purchased the church. On that mercy seat is the blood of the atonement. The blood that conquers the sins. Now, watch this. Remember, because this idea, this thing that I found out about the blood cells, the white blood cells that go through the body and find the uncleanness. And when they find the uncleanness, they cover it. The white blood cells will cover it. This is why you get a zit full of that white pus, all right? It's why you'll have some kind of boil or something like that full of corruption. Those are white blood cells. You know what they were doing? They were covering the uncleanness. And then it took the uncleanness. That's what white blood cells do. They take the unclean, they cover it, then they consume them. They consume them. Then they break it into little bitty pieces. And then they're devoured completely so that it's like they never existed. And then the white blood cell dies. So look what they put on the mercy seat. The scarlet color of sin. That's what they did. What makes me mad? She has on her forehead, they adorned her with this solar image, and she is surrounded. I want you to see all this here. You see this? There are 12 of these. They're meant to represent stars. They look like thorns to me, but let's just kind of play along here. Here's her crown of 12. And she has a mark on her forehead. Cue the music. Okay? If you just want to see what's coming down the road, if you want to see Bible prophecy fulfilled, go to the St. Santa Claus Church up in Chicago. Polish, you'll get some good Polish food while you're up there, okay? But that's what you'll see. And by the way, this statue's huge. Look at this man compared to her. She's big, looks like a giant to me. But notice that she is circled by 12 stars, and she has a mark on her forehead. Why is that significant? You know what that is? That is the zodiac. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Where did I miss it here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Did I count that right? Yeah, 12. 12 stars. 12 constellations. What's going on here is she is accompanied by these beasts. Are you catching that? She is encompassed and accompanied by, they are her crown, as it were. They are who rules over. See, these are spirits here. These are stars. They are evil angels. One of them just happened to be called Cancer. Think about that. Okay? And oh, look, a scorpion. And oh, look, a bull, Baal. Okay? I mean, you can just, I've talked about this before concerning astrology. The word zodiac literally means a circle of beasts. So anyway, that's what that represents. These 12 stars are the 12 constellations, and that mark on her forehead is sort of like her name, because Mystery Babylon has her name written where? On her forehead. And her name is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That's what you have right here. You have 12. She's the number 13. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I mean, this is the language of symbols here. This is number one, things that you ought not see in a church, especially sitting on top of the Ark of the Covenant. And yet it is a language in and of itself. And if you have the key to unlock the symbolic code, you can understand what's really going on. And the key is the Bible. That's all you need, okay? Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of abominations, mother of harlots. So she is. Now, they call her in Roman Catholic land, they call her the mother, the blessed mother, the mother of them all. She literally, if for every abomination that the Roman Catholic Church performs, I would say probably that would be a reference to the sacrifice of the Mass. For every abomination that they perform in every Mass, she's the one responsible for it. She's the mother of it. She gave it birth. She is the mother of harlots. For every Catholic, the Catholic Church itself is designed to take on the appearance of the womb of a woman. I don't know if you knew that or not. I'm not going to get too much into this, but they all call her the Mother Church. If you're a Catholic and you want the blessings of the Catholic Church, you cannot get them at McDonald's. You cannot get them in a Happy Meal. You cannot get them at a state park. You cannot get them at Trump Tower. You cannot get them on a casino boat somewhere. You have to go to the Catholic Church. You have to be inside the womb in order to get that. And simply put, when you go into the entrance door, which usually is the shape of a mandorla in these old cathedrals around, when you go into that, you're going to come out of it a different person. You're going to come out transformed. That's what the womb represents. That's why they call these the Mother Church, and that's why the Catholic Church believes you can't do anything, have anything of the rituals done without being inside the physical building of the church. So she literally is the mother of harlots, and every Catholic church and every other church that follows after her is also a harlot. As the mother is, so are the daughters. That's what God said in Ezekiel chapter 16. Aside from the fact that the S on this priest's robe looks like a what? What does that look like to you? Okay? Anyway, here's from their website. We are the Messianic people, born and washed clean in the blood of the Lamb. The Blessed Virgin Mary participated in a unique and distinct way in the work of our redemption. Now, I just told you that. That's one of the top 10 things about Mary that's not true. And you may have said, oh, Hargard, you're making that up. Catholics don't really believe that. I know some guys that are Catholic, and they go to Catholic church about twice a year. And they say, nah, we don't believe that stuff. Really? Most Baptists don't know what their church believes because they don't go. The Virgin Mary participated in a unique and distinct way in the work of our redemption. At the foot of the cross, suffering in the pain of labor, she gave birth to her children. Children born from the blood of her son, the Blessed Virgin Mary, listen to this now, literally received the blood that was shed in expiation for our sins. She is the Kapporeth, the seat of mercy. Jesus is the Messiah. Did you see that? They said that she is that. She is the seat of mercy. That is an abomination. And everybody, Kenneth Copeland and John Arnott is too an abomination. And James Robeson and all of these people that met with Pope Frank and everybody, Rick Warren, Joyce Myers, TBN, everybody who is going into bed with Rome, with the Vatican, is in bed with the harlot. And they all are participants in the fornication, the abomination. All of them. You join hands with this, watch out. When I read this, I've done this, this is a Watchman broadcast I did several years, I think 2012. I still shake my head when I see stuff like this. They said that she is that mercy seat. That's why she's there. She has taken God's throne away from him. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, except, of course, the Virgin Mary. Doesn't say that. So I want you to get this. Okay, here is the mercy seat. This is where God is. And they took God and set him aside and put something else in its place. Here, you could say that here is, right here, the Philistines putting the Ark of the Covenant in front of Dagon, because Dagon is Mystery Babylon the Great. That's the priest, the Catholic priest to this day are still wearing the Dagon fish hats. Same thing. Listen, that Bible's right. It is right in everything it says. It is right in its foreshadowing. It's right in its foretelling, in its prophecies. And all you need to do is read the words on those sacred pages, and you'll see stuff like this, and you'll go, I know what that is. It may take you a while for it to sink in and for you to start going through all the scriptures, but you'll be going, bum, bum, bum! I know what that is. And so you people up in Chicago, when they invite you for the Christmas Eve program at St. Santa Claus Church, you just say, nah, I'm not, there's no way in the world I'm going in that building. Are you kidding me? There's an abomination in there. God's going to destroy that place one of these days, and I don't want to be anywhere around it. They say that the Blessed Virgin is the seat of mercy. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Hebrews 9:15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of an eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hand. Now, I will say that it just stands to reason that they would put the Virgin Mary statue on the Ark of the Covenant, because after all, Jesus is nowhere near that place. Jesus does not enter into a quote-unquote holy place made with hands. That's what the monstrance is. The monstrance is that they got a pole here, a little magic wand, okay? And they got a big sun disc on here with the sun wafer on it. And they say, here's Jesus. He's Jesus right here. Everybody bow before Jesus. And they when they are done with the cookie that they say is Jesus, they put it in this little box, okay, that they call the tabernacle. And it was made by some guy in Chicago named Swarovski. It was a temple made with hands. And Christ said, well, of course, Mike, of course they put the statue of the Virgin Mary there. I'm not going there. Christ is not entering into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer. See, this is why you don't have a crucifix in your house, people. Hebrews plainly says he's not there. We have a cross. You've seen it in the back of our church. And it has no one hanging on it. That's because the true identity of the cross is he's not dead anymore. But in the Catholic Church, Christ is the dying God. In that, I'm saying he's not the dead God. He is the dying. His dying in Catholic Church mythology is perpetual. Because every time they perform the Mass, they're re-killing Jesus all over again. Sacrificing often. Instead of Christ doing it one time, which is, that's what this says. Not, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. One time, one sacrifice, one suffering. Not perpetual sufferings, not many sufferings, not daily sufferings, once. Now, look at this, listen to this. The wedding feast, it mentioned the wedding feast of Cana to listen to him and do whatever he tells you. Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament enveloped by the iconic image of Our Lady. That's that sun disc in the middle of her chest. Let me see if I have another picture of it here. Hang on right there, okay? That's what that priest is doing. He's got a cookie, okay? It's a Catholic Oreo, and it's inside this little sun deal, okay? In Mary's chest, okay? He says, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament enveloped by the iconic image of Our Lady is to listen like Mary, to hear Jesus, and to do his will. Our presence before the iconic monstrance. Now, I want you to get this word, icon. Because what it means is the statue, the image. Okay? It's the image. It's what God told them not to make. That's what the word icon means. Now, hang on to this one, because you're going to see it in a minute. I don't know if we'll have time, but for the iconic monstrance is an invitation and reminder to be icons. Do you remember what I just read? They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. That's what they just said. Here's the statue. You bow and pray before the statue. You get to be the statue. The Bible's right, people. That Bible, I wish you'd read it. I wish you'd read it and be free. This week, we'll have church Wednesday night. I will not be here on Thursday. I will be with my family. On Friday, I will be with my family. And you know what we will be doing? And some people don't like this. We'll be worshiping the Lord. That's what we'll be doing. if you think I'm doing otherwise, you can come down and join in with us. Okay? So anyway, no PMO on Thursday. Get with your family. Get your Bible out and read it. Okay? You know what I just realized? I did not record this Pastor Mike online. Not once. I don't know what happened. The record button's not on. Oh, well, God had a reason for it. So I'll probably redo this sometime just to get it out there. Okay? Hey, God bless you. We'll see ya. Bye.